Blog Talk Radio. out of sync. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your craft. Break out your words. You're going to break out some praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Amen, family. You can't have my breakthrough. You can't have my increase. You can't have nothing. You can't have my life no more, but I will serve the Lord. Welcome, family, to Real Talk with Pastor Ian, Minister Carolyn. We are back live here on the Now Network. We are joined with our crisis reporter, Enoko Major, who will be a part of our variety of Real Talk discussions, the dynamic principles based on messages and worship to our God through and with extravagant respect. Family, yes, we are still devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. With open arms, yes, each and every one of us demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every given opportunity. And yes, through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And check this out, we decree and declare we will reach the lost and unsaved. No further ado, welcome in my hostess, my co-host, whatever you want to call it, my road dog, my side, whatever. Minister Carolyn, good morning. God bless you, woman of God. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor. Praise the Lord. He can't have nothing of mine.
Hey, man, we taking it back. We are taking it back. How's it going?
Everything is good. I've been off this morning. I just gave the last of the chicken and the chicken strips away, and all is well. I dealt six families this morning. I've been out since 7:38 o'clock.
Amen. So, I mean, amen. I guess that is something to real talk about, is the fact that I think over the last 3 or 4 days we've given over 3,000 pounds of foods altogether, meats particularly. Families have canned goods and things on the shelves, but God has just been just pouring into us a vast amount of meats that we were able to bless the community with. I'm tired of looking at chicken, but chicken
right?
has blessed the chicken has blessed the community, have blessed the homes. We've gotten some testimonies, Minister Carolyn, from some of the families yesterday that said that they ate chicken one way, they were planning on eating chicken another way. They had chicken for breakfast,
yeah,
lunch, and dinner, but they ate a meal, and that was the most important thing. So I salute the team and the covenant partners that came through and sold time, energy, and their finances. Thank you, too.
Amen.
Amen. So we're looking for Enoko. I don't see her on there. I just text her and see if she could get on. We are having some issues. As everyone knows, T-Mobile and Metro PCS. T-Mobile's thing is they're going to charge you a one penny per minute. So if you're on the phone an hour, that's a dollar. So charge you a dollar if you're on T-Mobile. They don't have another plan. Metro PCS has another plan that you could pay, I think, something more monthly to get in through conference calls. But because of the overwhelmingness of the strength that the numbers take away, they block a lot of things. So it's unfortunate that callers aren't available. Now, Enoko is on our other line. Let me unmute
okay.
her. Enoko, how are you this morning, woman of God? Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. I got you. Hold on. I got to get you swapped over. Jesus, come on now. Take the wheel, Lord.
He got it.
Okay. Oh, he has it. I just got to change a button or two. She can't hear you yet?
No. You want me to call her?
Inoka, can you say something?
Good morning.
Oh, there she goes.
See, Minister told you, Minister Carolyn, I told you, I got it. I was just a button away. How are you, Inoka?
I am doing well. Good morning, Pastor E and Minister Carolyn.
Good morning.
Amen. Well, this is awesome.
I miss you guys. Amazing this morning.
Amen. Now, we're getting a little feedback. What I'm going to do, Inoko, I'm going to call – I want you to hang up. I'm going to call you in to the main board that we could be more clear and not a bounce, because as we're communicating back and forth,
Thank you so much.
Because I have
okay.
both devices, but everybody else does. But I'm going to call you into the line right now. Minister
okay.
Carolyn,
Thank
can you just kind of give a heads up on what we'll be sharing, what we'll be diving into the current events that we're dealing with with Real Talk?
Okay. Good morning, family. This is Minister Carolyn. We are on the Now Network. Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. We have Inoko coming in. I believe that today our topic is going to be about the coronavirus. She has a lot of information for us, information pertaining to what to do, what not to do. I believe she's also going to be giving resources, if I'm correct.
Minister Carolyn, I think me and Inoko talked, and then me and you talked separately. We probably didn't have that joint conversation.
Right. Okay.
We're just going to kind of just freestyle today and bring up some of the things that we have to offer right now. There are some things we really want to pinpoint on inmates being released out of jail that have nowhere to go, no families. They're not giving that package away. If you're getting out the pen, they're not giving that 200 right now. So it's a lot of things that in that area, and then even with the coronavirus on safety and stuff like that, we're going to touch those. But let's get her in, and then that way we'll be totally in agreement. But we just want to welcome everybody back.
Good morning.
Good morning, Inoko. We just want to welcome everybody back to Real Talk. We are back on board for the remainder of the season of 2020. So every Saturday you'll hear one of the three of us, and other guests come on. We're going to be talking about current affairs this season. Yes, we're still going to be talking about domestic violence. Yes, we're going to talk about coronavirus. Yes, we're going to talk about finances, taxes. Current affairs is what we want to really get real about in our discussions. And there's some things hitting in our communities right now. Minister Carolyn is out there helping reentry. Inoko is doing enormous things across the Southern California area and our nation. And then here locally, we're doing everything we can to feed, to clothe, to assist our community to get through this time of trouble. And we're seeing God move. But we need to do more, and that's what this is really kicking off. I was motivated by Minister Carolyn a month ago. When are we going to get back? When are we get back? And today is the day. So here we are, Real Talk. I just want to say here, I'm Pastor E. I'm going to let Minister Carolyn come in and introduce herself, and then let Minister Inoko come in and introduce herself. And then we're just going to kind of talk this morning on where we want to see this go for the next season, but we need your participation. This is just not a Pastor E show, a Minister Inoko, or a Minister Carolyn show. This is a you show that we want to hear from you. We need to know what you need help with. We need to know what you don't understand. We need to know how we can help you and how we can come real with you, that you can leave this place different than you came. And that's our goal, is to never be the same, to not stay dormant, but to always elevate and go to another level of helping ourselves, that we can help each other. So you guys know me. Pastor E, you know, I'm who I am in God, and I'm going to continue to do that. I thank you for allowing me to sow into your lives here on the Now Network. Minister Carolyn, come on, give me a little brief recap on you and what's going on with you.
Okay, I'm Minister Carolyn. I do gang intervention, domestic violence, human trafficking. I just do whatever the Lord tells me to do. I'm really feeling like this week I've learned a lot from my pastor and the people on the Now Network. So this is just my season of moving forward. So like the pastor said, if you guys need any help in anything, you know, if we don't have it, there's always a way we could get it or help to assist you. I don't give up. And the pastor, he is always moving. So you don't have to worry about us putting the ball down or dropping the ball on you unless we have a reason not to. But you have to help us help you. And that's what I have to realize, that I have to help the pastor and everybody that have been praying for my deliverance and for my success. I have to help them help me by doing the things that I was supposed to do or the things that they were putting inside of me to do. So that's where I am today. Always available, the phone lines, you can reach us 24 hours a day. I can't see at night, so I can't say I'm going to jump up and come up at night, but I will come in the daytime. So that's just a brief description of me. And we could go on to Minister Enoko.
Amen. Enoko?
Okay, good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Enoko Major, and I am from the Inland Empire area. However, I was born and raised in California. I mean, in California, we know that. But I was going to say Southern California, L.A. area. And in this season, in my role, I have been really, really fortunate and blessed. Even with the things that I have endured, God has really placed me in an area of, in this season, in teaching people how to navigate our systems. And especially during this COVID-19, a lot of people do not know how to navigate basic systems, how to get resources, how to just be able to pick up the phone and call a 1-800 number and express what they need. And sometimes we take those things for granted and think that, oh, well, you should know how to pick up the phone and make a doctor's appointment. Well, now with the COVID-19, unless you're you're in need of emergency care, you're being screened, assessed, and people are getting frustrated and feeling somewhat incompetent because of all the way these systems have just automatically been changed. So one of the things that I am really, really excited about, in March, we just started an Inland Empire CSSJ, and it stands for Crime Survivors.
Come on, you got
it. Oh, my God. I know. I'm sitting here. I got a blank, and I'm looking at the paper.
Speak, Holy Spirit.
Okay, Crime Survivors and Justice. So that we just started in the Inland Empire. Also, that I've been really fortunate over the last couple of months to be a part of is the Shira Shalom Foundation. And so, again, I'm getting all tongue twisted, but you know what, enemy, you're not going to defeat me. And then, two, I got to take responsibility because I really should know these things because I can't blame everything on the enemy. I got to take some.
Enoko, now you're in the car with me. I finally
understood. So it's like, okay.
And I have to take responsibility for me.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying. And sometimes we're getting tongue twisted of things that are new. And we know that God has called us to, but we are sometimes even straddling the fence. So both of these organizations deal with really helping to restore people who have been impacted by trauma or formerly incarcerated or even incarcerated. And so bringing true healing, and not just, you know, like I tell people, sometimes just because you're not hurting doesn't mean you healed. You could just be hard. So those are things that we're really focusing on. I'm excited about this season and things to come forward. And so, like I said, my real goal is really helping people to navigate various systems, whether it's government, local, national systems, and really giving them the courage and empowering and enlightening them. And because after this is over, and which I don't think it's going to be over, but when people have to get back to their day-to-day, you're going to have double trauma. Those who have experienced trauma, and then just having to live a new normal. And we know that, people who have experienced trauma, we know about creating new normals. We know about being resilient. But again, having more people, we're usually an isolated community. Now everybody is going to be a part of healing. And that can be amazing. So I tell people, and it's how we're going to, we didn't ask for this, but we sure can. We have a choice in how we're going to heal and how we're going to live. So I tell people, no, we may not have a choice in what's happening, but you have a choice in how you're going to respond. And as believers of Christ, we do not get a go pass to just act a fool or to do whatever we want and to blame this epidemic on the enemy and just do whatever we feel like doing. No, we have to be examples of living through crisis, living through things. Our actions have to be speak louder. And we have to help each other. And God says that we have to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And you can't just make this about you. We have to show love in everything we're doing, even being isolated in the home. So those are things that's like giving people hope, but most of all, the courage to come back, to do whatever they need to.
Right. Well, you know, you're hitting right on it because, and we didn't talk about this offline. I want all my listeners out there to say, well, he told her, we have been on a drive, and God gave me a word to tell everybody I was connected to that if we release and activate the love, that he will heal the land. Now, it's not just the pandemic we got to worry about. Our land needs a lot of other areas to be healed. Our country will never be the same. And those are the other things I want to kind of bring up and get people to really get, because it's not going to just on the first change, they open things back up. It's going to always mask are here forever. It's just certain things. Those temperature guns are going to be at the door of every entrance to places. There's so many things of awareness, and the absence of business for some. Yeah, we're not complaining right now because the landlords aren't on our back. The bill companies aren't shutting stuff off, but as soon as this is released, you're going to have to answer. You're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to be prepared to be able to continue to survive. And I think that's where people need to really hear and be willing to ask for help. Mr. Carolyn said it earlier as we're going, if you need something, don't just because you're going to have a job when this is over, but you're doing bad right now, don't feel like we can't help you. We saw that yesterday. People coming that were really in need, but they had nice cars. I was telling the team and all of us, I said, now look, they're coming in BMWs, they're coming in Cadillacs, they're coming because everybody in this season is in need, but don't know how to ask for help. And you were saying something to me the other day, Inoko, and we did talk about this, about the prisoners being let out of jail right now without nothing. I mean, we have a guy that just connected to our ministry before this happened, and he hasn't got any of his services put in place because he can't go to SSI, he can't go here, the place he was living, they were going to put him out, you know. Luckily and prayerfully, God intervened there because we talked to the parole officer, got them to do some extensions and stuff, but that was just one case. How many cases would you say right now? And I'm just in Southern California, and let's add the Inland Empire, from you to us, how many cases would you say right now of people out there that have been put out of jail early without any resources and without any help?
Well, if I can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes. The three of us are open, so we can just kind of generate our conversations with each other. And then we'll open it up later.
I'll input on that. As you know, we have transitional homes for inmates that are coming home from prison, and some of them made it. And they were able to start, you know, getting their business handled and whatever. And some of them came home, and we have two now. They can't go apply for general relief. They can't go do their food stamps. They can't do, and one guy doesn't have any family at all. He's not even from California, but they paroled him to Los Angeles. And it, you find that these guys are, he gets angry. They're angry because they can't leave the facility and go where they want to go. They're angry because they didn't get that money in their pocket. He's angry because he feels like after doing 17 years and he comes home and he's in a quote-unquote transitional house that he should be able to go out when he wants to because he's now a free man. But CDC is telling us, well, the parole officers and the program they're under, Amnesty, they're telling them, you can't go out. The city, we're on lockdown. And these guys are like, I've done so much time already. We just got out of lockdown. You guys, they don't understand the seriousness of these issues. And therefore, people like me, people that are housing these people, we're left holding the bag. So the guy, there's one particular man, he's like, well, he sees the other guys coming and going. Well, the rule is, per probation, if you have a job, you can go. You just have to go to work and come right back. So he's like, I bet that man's not going to work. I bet. So it's like a point game, a guessing game, and then they want to play the mind game. Then he's like, well, can I walk to the store? Can I walk to the store? Can I do that? Then they start lying about where they're going and what they're doing, you know, just so they could get out. But when it comes to money, they really get an attitude. So I was able to, you know, talk the manager into letting me take them to Walmart. It's a store run. They need food. And they were like kids at a candy house. But once they got back behind the wall again, there goes the anger and the frustration. And I know I get mad when I get broke. So I know.
Well, I think we all jump on the wagon with that.
So you talked about sucking these men $200 gate money. I don't even know if they give them what they have on their books. Enoch, maybe you could help us with that.
No, they haven't been able to. If the people have, one of the things that they're, some of the people that I have been able to speak to who have recently been released, they were supposed to be released to different programs that are not taking them. So when they were making that reentry transition, they had that address for all their stuff to go to. And so a lot of the stuff is getting sent back to the prison, and if anyone understands the prison mail system, it goes through different cycles. You could have written your loved one March 1st, and they didn't get the letter till March 20th. So a lot of the checks and a lot of the money, yes, a lot of the stuff has been sent back and is being rerouted. Now, as far as people applying for food stamps and different things, Minister Carolyn, I will talk to you after this is over. They still are able to apply for these assistance, and they have to say keywords like, I'm applying for emergency food stamps. And most of them, they're in transitional housing. You're homeless. That's not your resident. That is temporary housing. So there's key things, and that's where I come in navigating. There's keywords you have to use. I am in crisis. It is a financial hardship. I am. I just was released. I am homeless. I have temporary housing. One of the things when you were talking about these men coming out of prison, you have to remember they may be 40, 50 years old, but you have to assess how old are they emotionally. And most of these people that are coming out, they are emotionally 15, they're emotionally 12, they're emotionally 10, depending on where their life abuse was. And so when you're dealing with them, you can't look at them as a 40, 50-year-old man. You have to talk to them, not belittle them, and always remember to respect, and especially the male. Talk to them with respect, and you have to go just like you would do your 14-year-old child, and the consequences and different things and logic, and talk to them that way, but not in a belittling and a demeaning way. Because when a person goes into crisis, anything you're talking about, it's like a brick wall. So you cannot talk to people when they're in crisis or they're frustrated. You have to, and if you're talking to them, you're saying the same thing over and over. Like you're saying, no, we're not, you're not, no, not even no, you're not going to the store. That's too much. And you got to revert back to your rules. What are your rules? What are your policies? In any transition or any place, there is rules. And it's like if you do not want to, this is what you signed on to. Because people are very happy, oh, my God, I'll do this and this. They sign that. And then when the honeymoon stage is over, the real them come out. But when you interview and assessing them, you got the imaginary them. So you have to hold people accountable. You cannot, we cannot blame COVID-19. Like I said, I don't care whether you're a Christian, whether you're Buddhist, whether you don't believe in anything at all. You have to be held accountable for your actions. And in a program, there are rules and regulations. And sometimes as programs don't want to lose that funding. But you know what? You have to, everybody else is watching. And so these men will pout, say things, and again, you have to have groups that are within your program. Some, and everybody has to change up with what's going on and providing in home services. So in the Inland Empire, they're slowly releasing people from prison and jails, but they're not releasing in the large numbers of that we thought in California. There's going to be 3,500 people released. Within the month of March and April, and that was put on hold because a lot of the communities voice, we're in crisis. We cannot have family members coming home, and we're barely feeding our family. Now you're asking us to feed someone else. Now you're asking us, you know, we have our, a lot of parents have their kids in school. And so think about bringing a cousin who you told can parole to your house. Now your kid's at home all day. Your husband's at home. Your wife's at home. That's just a brewing. Like I tell people, what we're doing is gasoline and matches, you know, in some of these homes. So even the families that really love their loved ones, they're even saying, I'm sorry, I can't have you come here. We don't have the economic support to support you. And so you're finding this population either violating or, and some of them are on a free-for-all. And even on the doors, I went to probation on Monday to drop off some stuff. And on the doors, it has, if you're homeless, if you just got released, call this number. And a lot of these numbers are busy. There's no, you can't leave a message, you know. And then if you're a parolee or you're coming out of jail, most people don't know how to what to do. It's like take a picture. If you see a sign on the door and you're a parolee or you are jail coming out of jail, you take pictures. Everybody got a phone. You write down who you talk to. What date did you talk to them? What time did you talk to them? You're taking pictures of signs that saying this is closed. If you have to enroll in something, and that program is shut down, you're asking them to send you an email because the judge is not going to excuse ignorance. Our law does not. They'll say, oh, well, you'll learn 20 days in jail. So people in your programs, people have to learn about accountability. And trust my whole thing. I don't care who I'm managing, what I'm doing, even with my adult children. My thing is trust. But verify. You can tell me something, but you better believe I'm going to verify it. So the people who are leaving, going to their employments, and you guys are kind of suspect, you might have to add in your program, well, you know what? You're going to have to sign, you know, we're going to have you sign, you know, you're going to be signing in and signing out. Because, and again, this is going to catch up with people. They're going to keep manipulating, playing games, and before you know it, they're kicked out. Of a program that's really good. But I think we have to begin to hold each other and people accountable. We cannot lower the expectations and standards because of this, because, again, the enemy, when he says he comes to steal, rob, and destroy, he's not going to come as a thief, a normal thief. He's going to pickpocket your, he's going to pickpocket you and destroy your seed. And then when you go to reach for your confidence, you go to reach for your courage, you go to reach for your self-esteem, it's gone. And then it's gone. And then he can kill you, and he can emotionally, physically, spiritually kill you. So we gotta. This is a wake up call. This is a wake. Right. This is no time to sleep and no time to bring excuses. No time to sit down. This is a time to fight, to be creative, and to go back to basics. Because I think I was telling you, Pastor E, I was saying people are going, oh my God, if this goes in summer, what are we gonna do? Growing up as a child, we didn't have no trampoline parks. We didn't have no Chuck E. Cheese. You know what? You went outside. You didn't come inside, you drank from the water hose, and I'm not saying people go back to that. But you got a stick. You played games. You stayed out all night. You played hide and go seek. You did hopscotch, roller skate, roller derby. It's like, parents, get creative. You know, people, get creative. Get to know your neighbors. You know, I'm not saying let your kids go over there and spend a night, but know who's living next door to you. Get back on the porch. You know, I mean, have a local barbecue. I know, and this is when we get back into things, because right now, yeah, they're asking us to keep social distancing. But I just see where we're in this pity party, a lot of people. And it's like, you know what? Those who want to feel sorry, you are going to get trampled over.
And, that's where we have to be stronger in how we allow people to respond to things. And I like that holding accountable part, because, I mean, most of the people we're talking about are in situations because of their actions and because in the results of them. And then, but I was trying to really get to those that were not, you know, some people have been released that were supposed to have maybe 6 to 8 months more on their sentence that have been released. People without, you know, that without the means and things like that, that are just put out because they don't want, they want to critique or to help the spread or the housing in the facilities. Okay, so a guy gets out. Okay, just say, for instance, let me just be the advocate. A guy gets out and has nowhere to go. How can we help that person?
One of the things is that if they're getting released, they would have to call a home. Matter of fact, homeless shelters. And one of the things, people don't realize, if you go to the local homeless shelter and you tell them they're homeless, you're homeless, and they say, we don't have beds, you have to say, I have nowhere to sleep, I have no family, and they will change it to say, do you have somewhere to sleep just for tonight? No, I don't, not even for an hour. Because if you say yes tonight, well, then they'll say, okay, use that resource, come back tomorrow. And right now in L.A. County, FEMA has released a lot of money for housing the homeless. So you want to contact a local DPSS office. They're not closed. DPSS is not closed. A lot of these offices are working remotely. So you still have to call them, and you have to state, I am homeless. When you're on that bus ride coming, getting released, and you know you have nowhere to go, you're calling. And people who are getting released out of prison right now, all the phone calls are free. If you know they're telling you to roll it up, they're going to tell you the night before they're discharging you, or they'll tell you within a couple hours. You're making calls right then and there to your local 211. And there are, you know, and one of the things I can say, 211 has been a blessing and a resource, and you can, all over the United States, you can just dial 211 saying that you're being released. And on the door of probation, even if it's closed, it says, if you're homeless, call this number.
Right.
You know, and so there, I tell people a lot of times, and I'm not, I don't want to criticize or judge, but it's like, in prison, you have to, you're those same tools to, you got out, oh, you made it. You had to survive. You had to learn to learn a whole different system. You had to learn a whole different culture, a whole different world. You had, you know, and it's like it's a world in its own. So those same survival skills that were beneficial that helped you live to do 17 years and to be dehumanized and not to even have a name, to have a number. And you, people didn't even look at you as a human being. And then now you're in a free world. A lot of people come out and they have post-traumatic stress because this is a whole, it's like coming out and your eyes are open. And it reminds me of when God, when they said Adam and Eve in the garden, their eyes became open, but it wasn't something good that your eyes are opened. So I think when people are getting released, they have to, like I said, 2-1-1, and they have to put on that same thinking and mindset in a positive manner. How did I make it 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, 17 years in prison? And it wasn't coming out and looking for hand. And two, in an institution, somebody tells you when you go to the bathroom, when you can eat three meals a day. But then again, you had to network. If you wanted, and this is what I'm learning from inmates, if you had some top ramen and somebody else had some peanuts, you negotiated, you barter. Okay, why can't you come out and use those same techniques in a positive way? Why can't you use those skills in a positive way? Telling someone, you know what, I'll wash your windows, I'll do whatever, you know, and we can barter. And I'm not saying that that works for everyone because sometimes people don't want people, people are just getting released to, you know, to be doing, coming into close contact. But I said that, again, these are adults who, when they're on that bus ride, you should be lining up your resources. You should, you know, because right. I've seen people on a bus, they sure will ask you, can I use your phone? I need to make a call.
I can be transparent because I have, I'm not just talking from just, you know, knowing other people's experience. It's been over 20 years, but I spent time in prison, and I remember getting out, and I remember having a plan. I remember going in with a plan. I mean, you know, when you're sitting in county jail, when you're fighting that case, you got nothing but time on your hands. And for me, it was time for first of all, to become, to release being a criminal. And but I had to have a plan, but I had to have the right people in my life that was giving me the hope and giving me the accountability to come out with a plan and make the plan work for you. So, you know, here I am 20 years later, and yes, the plan worked, but it wasn't easy. I couldn't just get out and expect things to happen. I remember the little money they gave us was gone by the time you got back after the bus trip and eating and just getting out, you know, you want to, you know, splurge on yourself and before you have nothing. And then there's no backup. Well, so what I'm saying is that we just can't accept anything from people and without giving them the requirement to do the right thing. And that's where I have to, you know, draw the line there, because I deal with reentry. There's several people through our ministry that we're helping and assisting it, but we're sitting down face to face saying, no, this is what you must do. This is how hard you have to go. You can't come here and we're going to do this for you, but we're going to lead you in the right direction. And then there's a benefit of it, because now they feel worth instead of a free ride. I never got on SS. I never got on disability. I never got on GR. I'm not that type of person anyway. I don't stand in line. That's, you got me there. Then having to go back every month, you got me there. Then having to report and sign papers. Oh, you got, I'm done. So, you know, so, but society is so willing to give away free money. I mean, 75% of the guys out there that are on disability got it when they got out of prison. And they went through the motions to play crazy, to utilize whatever they did to get the monies, and now they're strapped to that. They won't go to work because they're afraid of losing that check. They won't start a business because that means they got to work. So So, you know, my thing is, if we're going to be real about our talk and about what we're doing out here, is that I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm tired of showing up just to show up and take pictures and videos and stuff like that. I really want to be connected to real stuff that's getting real results and have solutions to everything that we're doing, and not just a pat on the back and, oh, baby, you've been in. And please don't take this wrong. Anybody out there that's been locked up over a day. But to be so compassionate. Oh, you've been gone a long time. Well, yes, you have been gone a long time. But now, what can we do to get you caught up? And how can we see the effect of your life being changed now, and not just waiting on the free ride and the easy route? And I know our brothers need help. I know the people, the young ladies need help. I know they do. But I think we need to teach more about the less dependency on this help, with just being a bouncing board, a catapult to them starting a business. That's one of the things I tell the young men that are re-entering, is that the thing that helped me change my life is that I started working for myself and started to make me, I don't care if it's painting, I don't care if it's cleaning up, I don't care if it's mowing lawns, I did whatever I could do to make a dollar honestly, that turned around to now having a work ethic to saying still today, I unload food, I pack food, I give food away. I'm not just sitting back saying, okay, come on team, come do this. And yes, we have great help that come out to help us, but I'm a worker, and that comes from having that self drive, that push that came from other people that said, okay. All right, we see you know you're here now. We see that you're saying one thing. Okay, what you gonna do? And it wasn't a free ride, you know. So that was important for me in my recovery of being a criminal or being institutionalized or being in jail. I've been in and out of jail a lot in my life. Oh my God, thank you, Lord, for delivering me. But it had to be by my choice. And it also had to be by my willingness to do what would keep me out. And those are the messages that I want to push and let brothers hear that, okay, you're going to call Pastor Eva, he's going to tell you the real. He's going to tell you, okay, you ready to go to work? You ready to get your life in order? You ready to forget about the past and let the past die? Yeah, you got to pay for your... You know, I had to finish my parole. I had to finish my time. I had to finish everything that was put before me. God, even though I was delivered, even though I was set free, even though I was a man of God, even in prison, I still had to pay for my crime. That's not going to get washed away. You're not going. God's not going to take away something that is on us or on me. I have to pay for my crime and for everything I've done. But from that point forward, he'll help me. He'll help you go to a place where you don't have to worry no more. You don't have to fret no more, and you don't have to die. You can live. And then here's another thing I hear from people, because of people coming out of jail. They think they're coming out of jail because they have it already. There's a fearful to want them around. I mean, I'm just being honest. People, have you seen the reaction to interacting with people even when you're social distancing? They say 6 feet. Other people got 12-foot lines. I mean, our society is really, really, really out there right now, you know, and it's hard for people to get help when people are scared. And when you live in a transitional home, watch this. Don't tell somebody that they're living in a transitional home. They ain't going to close the door. They don't even want to interact with anybody right now because of the fear that's in the land. We need more love.
You know what? You know what? I don't understand. I mean, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. What is there to be scared about? I'm missing that. Am I the only one? I'm not scared. I mean,
well,
what
I'm not
is
scared.
It? I mean,
oh, no, I'm not scared by no means.
I mean, you said people are scared. They're what are they scared about? I don't know. Man, I really don't understand. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or psychotic. No, I'm wondering if I'm not, because I don't understand what they're. I really don't know.
Okay,
no,
here. Let me give you one. Let me give you one word. Let me give you one word, and this word will always drive people to fear, and it's called death. Now, since you just asked that question, I think I'm gonna share something that I've been researching, and the numbers of death that are just in our state. The numbers of deaths that are being recorded now are only 20% up from the deaths that were going on before this happened. So the reports now are being more are elusive to the community to know the deaths in our city. But it's really up only about 20% from what the normal death toll is in Los Angeles, from murder, from disease, from overdose, from killings, from all of the things that are happening in our state. The numbers are only up 20% right now. But when you release the numbers, it now causes a fear because of the word death. And watch this. We my God, as believers, we let the same word affect us. Now, I'm not talking about the ones of us are still here putting on gloves, are still sanitizing, are still putting on our masks. I'm not saying be a fool about anything, but if you trust in the Lord, that means your faith is beyond a mask. Your faith is beyond the hand sanitizer. Your faith is beyond disease. But are we actually showing that? We can talk the good talk, but are we really exemplifying that with one another, that we really love each other that much that we're willing to care and care with a sincere heart? And hold each other up and support each other and have forums like this to say, if you need help, dial 1.
I already know. That's
if you don't,
stay away from people.
If you don't have it, let us know. If you need to get there, let's get together. But we gotta love each other through this thing. We gotta love each other because life is gonna continue. And we have to be ready for the next phase. And now, I'm talking to my believers right now, those that are sold out to the word and believe the revelation and believe the end of days. This is only about the third notch to where we're really going if you know the word of God. So we should look at these things as how we get better in strengthening ourselves. How do we get better to support each other? Because when the next one comes, we're standing here ready. We ain't running to get toilet paper because we know we need a supply. We're not running to get water because we should already have water. We're not running to do this because we're prepared for the next thing to come. It's coming. But are we ready as a family, as a team, as a group of believers to really stand on the promises of God in the time like this? And don't compromise.
Okay,
but really, really, can we – yeah, go ahead.
No, finish.
Oh, no, I'm good. When you say something, I'm probably going to have
something. This was an unexpected call, but we are talking about the virus and, you know, being scared and stuff. And we were talking about the man coming home from prison. So I just got a call from someone that actually is incarcerated. Joe, Benny, are you there?
I'm just listening.
So do you want to tell us, just briefly, how it is inside of there with the coronavirus thing going on? Are you guys on lockdown? Are they giving you the mask? You know, can you just fill us in on a little bit of stuff?
Well, as of yesterday, they just started issuing out masks and shit.
You're on the air. You cannot use profanity on this line.
Let him speak. Look, check this out. We're going to respect each other, but let the brother speak. It's all good.
Okay.
I forgot. I'm sorry about that. I forgot. I'm so used to talking like that. But as of yesterday, they just issued out masses. There's people right around now. The porters are running around with masses on right now. And Now that you said coronavirus, they just moved two fools over here in C-section that got coronavirus in the so we all trying to stay away from C-section right now as I speak.
Oh wow.
But, they don't give out day room or nothing. We don't get day room. They give out yard every blue moon. The program is shifting from day to day right now. But as of right now, everybody's kind of healthy, but there is some people running around here. They're trying to quarantine them in the corner of cells with coronavirus.
My God.
Do you want to tell Pastor E and the listeners how long you have been in the struggle inside a prison behind those walls? How long have you been there?
Shit. What's this, 2020?
Yes.
34.
He's been incarcerated 34 years.
Mm.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
Jesus, man, I can't imagine because I've been on lockdown up in prison and it ain't nothing nice. And I knew, because we've talked and been praying with some areas with the prison systems, but to really know it from behind, my prayers are with you and everyone in every prison in this whole world that are being really, really on a lockdown situation. So yeah, we definitely gonna keep you lifted up in prayer. What else do you have, Minister Carolyn?
That was it. That's it. That's all.
You know what I wanted to find out, Pastor E, the young man that was on, and he was stating that two people came positive for COVID-19. My thing is, prison is one of the most quarantine places. So is it that they came in there? Because I know they're not supposed to be bringing in new inmates. So my thing is that who brought it in? Was it the guards? Was it the food service workers? Because it takes a whole team to run a prison. So my thing is that who actually brought it in? Because the prisoners didn't have it. They didn't,
They were already isolated in there.
Yes, so my thing is that they're the most quarantined. So my other thing is having the guards and service workers, mail service, a lot of different vendors come in and out. And I would think, just like China has set up where you're getting your temperature, you're getting all these things done to protect, even though these people are incarcerated, they are human beings. They're not animals. And so you think you can just, come in sick, sneezing, whatever. Oh, well, they're not important. So I'm looking at why aren't everyone that has the privilege to go in and out of that prison being some type of monitoring that making sure that they're not a host of the coronavirus and that they're taking care of themselves? Because if you hold the staff accountable, from the janitors to everybody accountable, you would see a decrease because that person isn't going to come in. And a lot of people are looking at, I got to still feed my family. And how many of us have been to work sick?
Wait. What'd you say to janitors? Those are the inmates.
I know, but I'm saying, I'm talking about who's cleaning the warden's office. I know, but who's cleaning areas that you can't go into. So, again, like I'm just saying, why aren't there more precautions for the people who have access to coming in and out, that they're testing them, that they're making sure their temperatures, because there's certain things, protocols that the medical staff have to do before they're going in. There's certain, like I said, China's now, since they lifted some of the bans, there's ratings. You have to, on the street, they have these temperature gauges that take your temperature while you're walking on the street. So I'm saying, why in the prison we're not holding the staff accountable, because our brothers, our sisters, our loved ones are in there, and they are human beings. They're human beings.
You are so right. You are so right.
Let one of those inmates talk about a class action suit. All of a sudden, everybody's going to wake up and talk.
That's right.
I'm just saying, I'm not promoting anything.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we're just having a free will conversation here. And we're going to do what we do. But, hey, there are actions that can be taken. And, yeah, so let's do what we can on our end to help that situation. Minister Carolyn, I know you have more information there. Let's take a moment to open the lines. If anybody out there, we're getting to the kind of, well, we're past 10 o'clock already, but
right.
this is our relaunch. Someone out there is hearing something, some information that you need right now, dial 1. We want to bring you into the conversation. We need you to please help us to share and to promote Real Talk with Pastor E, Minister Carolyn, and Minister Inoko every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We're going to be here for you. We're going to be talking about current events. But let's talk about some stuff. Like, we just got one assignment right now on that we can really make a difference and see if we can be effective in the things that we're saying to do. Dial 1 will bring in. Minister Terry, welcome to Real Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, beautiful family. I'm saying all glory to God. This topic is so needed and so on time. I want to welcome Minister Inoko, the crisis minister, because it's so needed. And she touched a lot on this prison reentry ministry and what's going on inside. So I thank God for the archives, because this one, Pastor E, with your permission, I will have to share out immediately as we hang up. I want to thank my beautiful sister, Minister Curlin, for her rounds, and you too, Pastor E, for giving food during the crisis. I was with Minister Carolyn all morning live on Facebook, and I says, all glory to God. Yes, for what you are doing. What you are doing, I witnessed you. I stayed with you. God told me to just stay on that line with you, because you did say you go for surgery Monday. And I was just praying as you were delivering. And I seen you doing this on your own, getting in and out the car and playing your gospel music and greeting everybody. And I was just saying all glory to God, because
hard-headed.
I know you and Pastor, you guys have been feeding everyone.
Hard-headed.
And like, you said, Pastor E, that something.
No, I'm talking about Carolyn. Hard-headed.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
I told her to take it easy, too. Yeah, I was telling her, typing it in there, take it easy.
I don't come in contact with them, huh, Minister Terry? I run on the point, I leave it, and I get back in my car, and I roll off.
Amen. All glory be to God. And then she did say, Pastor E, she had masks. She had tons of them that she was supposed to make but sell, but she's giving them out.
I was supposed to sell them, and I started giving them away.
Right now, Minister Curlin, praying for you, praying with you for that surgery that's coming up Monday. But you keep doing your ministry.
Amen.
And let the Lord use you. You too, Pastor E, and Minister Inoko, because everybody needs this word right now. God bless you all. And love you all.
Bless
Amen.
You.
Love you
too. Amen. 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 Come on. Anybody else want to get in the conversation? Dial 1. We'll bring you in. We got about 2 minutes left.
I'm sorry. I don't.
Amen. Any closing remarks from you, Minister Inoko?
And I got to get used to this. I'm used to being Advocate Inoko. But,
Advocate Inoko.
Okay. Somebody had just said that they were like, okay, you teach. So that meant that name of ministry. And it's like, because I wanted to be humble, I want to remain focused. And so I honor that, but also I'm like, God, I want to be ready. So there is a program.
Do this for me. Before you tell me about the program, read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today. Okay, now you can go straight to 20 through 24 and you'll get it real quick, but read the whole chapter.
Yes. Okay, first of all, I want to and hopefully we're going to be able to bring them on the Unity program. But anyone that's out there that has a loved one behind bars, or even someone who's just getting out, there is a team of 3 people that are amazing And I'm going to make sure that we give out their information. And Pastor Boomer Benton.
60 seconds remaining.
And Marcus Wood and Gloria, they are doing amazing work for people who are getting out. Anyone that is doing any DV cases or anything. So I want to make sure that we post this on the website and people get ready to go on. But it's, go on. So anyone that's coming out of prison, and if you have children that are high risk, having behavior issues while they're home, they're doing that too. And they're 24/7. It's telephonically, but they're available. So Pastor E, I will make sure this stuff gets on your website. And Minister Carolyn. And we're going to have them on the show. So they're ready. They're ready.
Okay.
Man, amen. Definitely give me that information. I think you sent me some of it already, but make sure you give it to me again. I'll put it on all of our social media outlets, and let's definitely keep it going. Every broadcast, we'll share that information too here on the network that we can be more effective also. Thank
and
you
people who are behind bars, they can call in. If you're behind bars, you can also use these services.
Okay, can you put that number out right now for the behind bars?
Okay, you have 909-301-8823, and that's Pastor Boomer Bennett. Or you have Marcus Woods, 562-474-6250. Again, Pastor Boomer Bennett, 909-301-8823. Marcus Woods, 562-474-6250. And they deal with all incarceration, in, out, youth to adults. And they are amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I hope you got that information, my brother, before your phone cuts off. If not, Minister Carolyn, to get back to you. And as we said before, all calls are free. All calls are free behind if you're incarcerated, but they're not getting out to get to the phones. So thank God for those that can get out and use the phones and be able to get this information going. Thank you so much, Minister Enoko. Read chapter 5 of Corinthians. You're going to be like, he got me. Oh, my God. Minister Carolyn, come on. Any last remarks? Any last remarks from you?
No, just God bless everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for speaking. And thank you for sharing, Enoko.
And thank you. That's another thing. It's a privilege and an honor to just be able.
You're still on there. They hung him up.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to have you both back together. And we're looking forward to great things happening. I know the numbers will be way up. We did this good this morning. It's almost 200 online listening. We're looking for more interaction. Now, if you're listening by online by the clicking of the internet, if you want to talk, you have to dial the number 319-527-6173 or 319-527-2216. To be able to communicate with us. But thank you for all of the online listeners this morning. We hope we gave you some information that will bless you. Come back next Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Central. I mean, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon on the East Coast for Real Talk. We're going to have some more information for you. We will be posting everything you heard today on the event page, on my page, on the website, and everything else that we have going forward. We God bless you. Enjoy your Saturday. Stay safe. Love somebody. Don't forget, if we share the love, he says he will heal the land. Love you guys. But who wants to serve him?
I want to be like Daniel. Yeah. I want to be like Paul. Hey.
I just want to serve you.
When I'm serving, that means I'm giving you the best I can.
I just want to serve you,
Lord.
Yeah.
I do everything I can.
Forever, I'm going to need your help.
I done came a long way. I done did a lot of dirt. You can say I'm a survivor. I am here to give you church.
I'm just trying to fill his purpose. I'm just trying to make it work. I'm just happy to be forgiven and forgive those who I've hurt. Lord, only you know what I go through when I'm all by myself. I can't do this by myself. No, forever I'ma need your help. Forever I'ma be of service. Tell my story just to let you know I worship you. Before anyone on this earth, I'm committed to you first. We are the body of Christ. He is the one sacrificed. He is the one who can lead you to freedom. Will never mislead you the way into life. Yeah. Fresh out the book of Revelations, I am the soul of a nation. I am my own motivation. Dynasty Gold is my baby. We're sitting with Jesus. Finna eat with the believers. Finna reap what we've been sowing for seasons. It is our time and he is the reason. Give us a sign. Father, we need you. Your love is everything I've wanted. You tell me do it and I'm on it. I promise you will get the glory.
I love you.
Father, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I
love you.
I love you.
I just wanna serve you.
I need you.
I just wanna be a better person, be a better man, be there for my daughter, be a family man.
You know what I go through when I am alone.
Father, I need you, can't do this alone.
I am a living testimony, walking miracle. Pinnacle, spiritual, from the village, I can feel it, can you feel it? This is part of my healing. It's time that we build a bigger building. It's time that we be there for our children. It's time that we teach them how to love and show them how to feel it. See, all of my life, I've been running from myself. Now that I found Christ, I'm so glad I found Christ. He was with me when I fell, with me in the cell, with me when everybody was in hell. He is the one who brought me back to life. He is the reason for my sacrifice. I am a prophet speaking prophecy. Men on the mission, ain't no stopping me. Was given the vision to behold and possibly change all our consciously. If you really love him, follow me. Cause greater he is who's inside of me. And greater you are, if you let him lead you to your freedom, you can be reborn.
God saved me, you know what I'm saying? High out there on drugs and wilding out, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't do it without him, you know what I'm saying? So I gave my life to him, so now I'm committed to serving his people. Man, praise God, glory to God, glory to God.
Better man, be there for my daughter, be a family man.
You know what I go through when I am alone.
Father,
I need you, can't do this alone.
Father, I need you, can't do this alone.